You want a war? You're gonna get one.
Now get the guns, the drugs, to my generation, I'll take the fall. The saints, the combination, yeah, it's a sex. The gods, the freaks, the frauds, they're messing with me. Come on, come on, come on, let's get it out. Move to my music, play that fucking music. Live through my music, yeah.
Hey yo, welcome back to Reliving the War, and welcome to the 1st of February, 99. This week, Raw's a tape show from Tucson, Arizona, and Nitro comes live from Minneapolis, Minnesota. We have a new WWF champion, but those of you who watch my halftime heat video would already know that. Mankind reclaimed the WWF championship in the empty arena match during halftime heat, so it looks like the WWF are playing hot potato with their world championship. Speaking of Mankind, here's Mick Foley with this week's jam up guy, Mitch Little. Mitch always wears his wrestling bio shirts when going to conventions, and he spreads the good word to guys like Foley and Lex Luger. So thank you very much, man, and thanks to everyone who visited chinlocks.com to pick up a shirt. Our number one of Monday Nitro. Let's go. Kurt Hennig is seen arriving to Nitro with Barry Windham. These two are going to enter the tag team title tournament, but strangely, they also want to end Steve Blackman's career while competing on a completely different show. What does this mean? WCW's resident hornball, Scott Steiner, approached Kimberly before the show went on the air, and Mrs. Page took a better bump than David Flair. Scott says Kimberly slipped, but I'll let you be the judge of that. In the arena, Mean Gene welcomes K-Dog and Rey Mysterio to the ring. Mysterio reinforces how much his mask means to him, and he now understands that Lex and Nash must have some sort of personal vendetta against him. Mysterio grew up watching Lex and Nash, he really respects them, but seeing as Lex in particular won't show Rey any respect, then Mysterio's gonna have to beat it out of him. Conan says Lex and Nash went for Mysterio to get a K-Dog himself, but these guys now have a problem. K-Dog says you don't have to be a big guy anymore to get into wrestling, and this is something Lex and Nash are gonna learn sooner rather than later. Mysterio challenges Lex and Nash to a tag team match at Super Brawl, mask versus hair. It can be Nash's hair, Luger's hair, or even Miss Elizabeth's hair. And Conan wraps it up by saying Lex and Nash used to be stand-up guys, but now they have to sit down in the bathroom to take aim. Back at the airport, the black and white guys can't get a rental car. Vincent says he's on the job, but Stevie Ray quickly learns that the boys actually have a limousine. There's only four seats in this giant limo apparently, so the black and white tell Vincent to beat it. So Vincent puts in a quick phone call, and instantly, and I do mean instantly, the red and black limo pulls up and Vincent gets a ride. Back in the arena, we learn about Eric Bischoff's assignment for the night. He's gonna sit in a dunk tank, and wrestlers and employees will get a chance to give Eazy-E a quick cold bath. This goes on throughout the entire episode of Nitro, by the way, so rather than cutting back and forth, let's just cover it all right now. JJ Dillon was first up, and he got the job done after a few tries. A cameraman failed in his mission to dunk his boss. Scott Dickinson has crazy eyes, but he still managed to dunk Eric, well done. Bobby Heenan tried to suck up to the boss, but he slipped and he ended up hitting the button, probably the highlight of this whole thing if I'm honest. And it ended with Ric Flair and Dean Malenko trying their luck, but Flair gave up and he just pressed the button. Eric says afterwards, "Hey Flair, where's your kid?" Kurt Hennig and Barry Windham advanced in the tag team title tournament when they defeated Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko. The match was very good and it felt like a return to form for Kurt Hennig. The Minnesota crowd were very hot for their boy Kurt, but Barry wasn't bad here either. A pretty physical match that ended with Hennig and Windham going over clean after Benoit took a perfect plex. WCW still put on the best tag matches, especially now seeing as one of WWF's most popular teams, the New Age Outlaws, don't seem to tag up anymore for TV matches. The NWO limo pulls up to the arena and Stevie Ray complains to Kevin Nash. He says once again Vincent dropped the ball, and Stevie doesn't look too happy when he realizes Vincent got a ride to the arena with the red and black. Scott Norton settles things down a bit though. Nash says Hogan isn't here tonight, so the NWO needs to stay united. But still, Stevie Ray complains when heading back to the black and white locker room. A few creatures of the night are waiting inside that locker room though. The boys seem shocked, but also pleasantly surprised. President Ric Flair confirms that Hogan isn't here tonight. His private jet broke down and WCW couldn't book him on another flight. But Flair also notes that the NWO is once again falling apart, with guys on one side being happy and guys on the other side being left out in the cold. Hogan didn't only fail to make it to the building, he also failed to lead the New World Order. Flair's ready to bring the belt back to WCW at Super Brawl, and someone else who's going to win a championship at the upcoming pay-per-view is Chris Benoit. Chris Benoit versus Bret Hart for the US title is going to happen at Super Brawl, and there's nothing Bret can do about it. At that very moment, Scott Hall and Disco Inferno come down to the ring, and Scott's not happy about Benoit getting this title shot. Scott says Benoit is only getting this opportunity because he cleans the Nature Boy's car, and Scott believes he should be getting this title shot. Chris Benoit then marches down to the ring, and after taking a toothpick in the face, Benoit launches an attack and Disco gets decked too. It all ends with Flair booking a Scott Hall versus Chris Benoit match for Nitro tonight. The winner gets to face Bret at Super Brawl, and that match is going to be our main event.
By the way, I want to say hi to my one little fan out there. Hello, Smokey, my cat.
We learn at the beginning of Raw that Shane McMahon's in control tonight. Vince is down in Victoria, Texas, trying to find Stone Cold in order to get that contract of his nullified. So we're going to check in with Vince in just a moment. The Rock's due to show up in around 20 minutes. Nobody from the corporation offered Kane a lift to the arena, but Shane's still going to head to the ring and cut a promo. Meanwhile, over on Nitro, Kenny Chaos takes on Van Hammer. Shane wants to address the crowd all alone. He says he's a McMahon and he doesn't need any backup, so he sends Bossman, Test, and Shamrock to the back. Shane tells the audience that Vince is going to provoke Austin into breaking his contract when the chairman finds Stone Cold in Texas. If Austin lays a finger on Vince, he'll get fired on the spot, so do keep in mind that Stone Cold has to wait until St. Valentine's Day Massacre before he can legally beat the shit out of his boss. Shane wants to show the cage off, telling fans that his dad's going to beat Stone Cold inside this steel structure, but Shane didn't know that X-Pac was sitting up there waiting for the cage to be lowered. A great little moment right here. Backstage, DX are taking care of the corporation. Shane's talking a lot of trash about X-Pac before he notices he's even up there. And when X-Pac jumps down, Shane decides he's going to try and fight the European champion inside this cage. It was going well for X-Pac until China showed up. China stopped the Bronco Buster and X-Pac refrained from smacking China in the mouth, so he turns his back and he ends up taking a low blow from the ninth wonder of the world. X-Pac then gets beaten up by China and Shane McMahon. Michael Cole says the only reason China joined the corporation was for money and nothing more, and when the beatdown ends, China gives Shane a hug like she's Shane's concerned mother. McMahon, Briscoe, and Patterson meanwhile arrive at a bar in Victoria, and McMahon tells his stooges that they look absolutely ridiculous. Vince approaches the bar, he asks the bartender if she's seen Stone Cold Steve Austin lately, and when Vince presses the matter a little too much, the woman behind the bar pulls out a baseball bat. The boys decide to leave the bar, and you know what the hell, we might as well check out all these segments right now, but I'll leave the finale until later on. The corporation go to another bar and Patterson approaches a few ladies playing pool. He says, "Us cowboys get very lonely on the trail," to this one lady, and he takes a knee to the balls for being a dirty creep. Gotta say, this lady was one bad actor. The boys then visit one of Austin's favourite restaurants and the stooges say the food's great. McMahon takes a bite and he absolutely hates it, so Patterson and Briscoe change their tune and they demand to see the waitress. Old Jerry gets his food smashed on his brand new cowboy hat. The boys then get a tip off that Stone Cold's in a gun shop and he's waiting behind that very door. The lads go in, Vince raises his voice, but that's not Stone Cold, it's a lukewarm Stephen Hoffman, I don't know. Lukewarm pulls a shotgun on Vince before actually telling McMahon where Steve is. He's in the Arky Blues bar, so we'll see how this wraps up a little later on in the show. On Nitro, I'm happy to see my boy Kenny Chaos get some in-ring action, but I'm disappointed that it's just a throwaway match against Van Hammer. Remember when Kenny won the tag team titles with Rick Steiner? That seems like ages ago now. Mike Tenay announces that Jan Baba passed away the night before this episode of Nitro, and he offers his condolences. Back in the ring, I was getting all excited when Chaos pulled off a springboard missile dropkick, but guess what? Van Hammer won with a spinebuster. I'm so done with this company. Thankfully though, the Sandman makes his Nitro debut immediately after the bell, so it's all good. Sandman, who would become known as Hardcore Hack, goes to work on Van Hammer, and even Chaos takes a few shots with Hack's trusty Singapore cane. When the ring clears out, Hack says he's been hardcore long before all these other Johnny-come-latelys in WCW. He then lies and he says he had the first ever barbed wire rope match, and he says he was the first man to ever use a barbed wire baseball bat. But the Sandman's, Hardcore Hack's now here and he's the king of extreme, apparently. Hack then calls out Bam Bam Bigelow. He wants to fight the Beast from the East. Hack vs. Bam Bam Bigelow is our next match on Nitro. On Raw, we've got Billy Gunn vs. Val Venus. Ken Shamrock joins the commentary team, saying as Val Venus gave his sister a good old saying too. Billy Gunn's no angel either, but Shamrock's more pissed off at Venus for taking advantage of his very generous sister. The match gets underway and Badass takes the advantage early on. Lawler reminds Shamrock that his sister starred in Venus's latest movie, and Ken says that kind of filth should be banned from America. There's no place in society for smutty home videos. Ken then says he's never watched an adult movie in his life, and Jerry says Michael Cole has a huge collection back at home. Shamrock must be doing something right though. The crowd are chanting Shamrock sucks as Billy Gunn applies a chin lock. So yeah, fans are making more noise about Shamrock than they are about the actual match. As Val Venus hits a spinebuster, Ken Shamrock's getting more and more heated on commentary. It's actually quite funny as Jerry keeps talking about Val Venus's grubby little hands all over Kenny's sister, and it reaches a point where Ken tells King to shut up or he's going to get his head put through the announce desk. Finally, Shamrock has enough and he ends up smacking Val Venus with a steel chair. Billy Gunn gets Ken out of the ring, but just like last week, Venus thinks it was Billy who blindsided him. So Venus takes Gunn out, and that's how it ends. Seriously, the most entertaining thing about this was Ken Shamrock on commentary. Backstage, Mankind wants to splash The Rock's cash on some very important purchases, such as hiring Max Mini for a few days. It only cost Mick $487 and he's allowed to take Max Mini home to play with his kids. The Rock, meanwhile, is not happy about this. He phones Vince McMahon and he tells the chairman what's going on, and Vince says there's more where that money came from and Rock shouldn't worry. That doesn't seem to be the answer The Rock was looking for, so the Great One's going to take care of business all on his own. On Nitro, Bam Bam rushes into the ring and he takes a ton of shots with Hack's kendo stick. He gets beaten, choking out, sent to the outside, and kicked so hard that he falls into the guardrail. Hack's having a lot of fun at Bigelow's expense right now, but Bam Bam turns it around by using the ring post. And back in the ring, Hack takes a chair shot right to the head. I'll never get used to calling him Hack, it's just such a dumb name. Bigelow hits his opponent again with that chair, but Hack comes back with a boot in the corner and more shots with his kendo stick. Bam Bam takes a bulldog before Hack ties barbed wire around the top turnbuckle, and after more mindless weapon shots, it's Hack who ends up taking the barbed wire in the back. Bam Bam runs in with a big splash, he then gives Hack some greetings from Asbury Park on the chair, and Hack, the self-proclaimed king of extreme, loses his debut Nitro match. Following the match, we see a pre-recorded NWO promo featuring Lex and Miss Elizabeth. They put each other over in typical NWO fashion, so it seems that these two are going to have a much more elaborate on-screen relationship moving forward. Deborah gets interviewed next on Raw while DDP goes looking for Scotty Steiner on Nitro. Clearly, the WWF didn't watch Deborah's promos in WCW before booking this quick interview. Kevin Kelly thinks Deborah played a key part in last week's tag team title match, and she says, yeah, it was a combination of the champ's abilities along with Deborah's irresistibility. Her body is apparently built for both business and pleasure. Big Mark Henry walks out, he says pleasure's his middle name, Mark Pleasure Henry, and he hands Deborah a rose before saying he and Deborah should hook up. Mark then says he's the kind of chocolate that melts in your mouth and not in your hand, the big dirty hornball. But then Mark gets jumped by Owen and Jarrett. The crowd boo as the tag team champions attack Big Mark, and Deborah seems to be pretty happy with how things turned out. Backstage, Mankind tells Kurgan it's now time to invest in the future. Interest rates are down, the economy's booming, stonks go up, and it's time to buy in. Kurgan says he has no money, so Mankind hands him some of The Rock's cash to secure his family's future. Kurgan says, "Jeepers, thank you. We need to bring Jeepers back." On Nitro, Billy Kidman tells DDP what happened during the Nitro Girls dance rehearsal earlier on, and Paige goes looking for Big Papa Pump. Paige is absolutely livid and he goes right for the NWO's dressing room. Dallas wants to know where Scott is. Nash says he went for a coffee, but DDP knows that these boys won't stooge off their buddy. So he instead threatens every NWO member he lays his eyes on. He says they all better pray to God that Kimberly's alright. DDP leaves, Steiner emerges from another room, and he says DDP's probably looking for this, it's Kimberly's outfit. And look, there's a freak in there too who could very well be Kimberly Page. Nash then tells Vincent to go out there, tell DDP he can have a match against Steiner at Super Brawl, and while he's at it, Vincent should smack Page right in the mouth. Vincent says he's gonna do it, but he then bumps into Disco Inferno and he tells Disco to do it. Vincent says this order's coming from the NWO higher ups and he has to slap DDP across the face. But as soon as Disco smacks DDP, the rest of the NWO's gonna show up to give the Inferno a little backup. So DDP goes to the ring, he tells Steiner to get out now, but instead he gets Disco Inferno singing Song Sung Blue. That's not very Disco of him. Disco steps inside the ropes, he says Steiner accepts a match at Super Brawl, and he then smacks Page as instructed. He awaits the backup he was promised, but nobody comes out to help, so Page lights Disco up and the Inferno takes a diamond cutter. Back in the NWO locker room, Vincent thinks he's going to get shouted at, but instead the boys laugh and they say Vincent is finally starting to smarten up. Page gets in his car, he leaves the arena, and I thought this was pretty good, by the way. Old Vincent being a sneaky little shit and getting Disco to do his dirty work. Next on Raw, we have Terry Runnels forcing D'Lo into another match. On Nitro, Billy Kidman takes on Lash LaRue. D'Lo wants to know when all of this is gonna end. He said he was sorry for what happened, but now this is getting ridiculous. Terry and Jackie say they aren't done with D'Lo just yet, and D'Lo still has to prove himself. At the beginning of Raw, Boss Man called Terry a bitch, so Terry tells Boss Man to come out for a match with D'Lo. D'Lo tells Boss Man he doesn't want to fight him, but the Boss Man won't listen and D'Lo gets destroyed in the early going. Boss Man pulls off a stinger splash and it appears D'Lo's chest protectors just for show these days. The corporation's enforcer then slides out of the ring to hit D'Lo with an uppercut and D'Lo quickly realizes he has no choice, he has to fight back. So he performs a jumping leg lariat and Boss Man takes two leg drops. We then see D'Lo's second rope elbow drop, Boss Man recovers and he goes upstairs, but D'Lo manages to throw him off and he hits his opponent with the lowdown. That's it, it should be over. PMS jump on the apron and the ref's too busy with Jackie and Terry. This leads to D'Lo breaking his cover and he walks right into a Boss Man slam. Terry laughs as D'Lo takes a pinfall loss. Boss Man attacks D'Lo after the bell with his trusty nightstick. So Mark Pleasure Henry runs down for the save, and it should be noted that Mark got a good crowd reaction both here and earlier on during the Debra interview. On Nitro, gingers around the world now have a wrestler they can look up to, Lash LaRue. He wasn't doing too bad to begin with as he took Kidman to the outside, but then he pulled off this crossbody while using the ring steps. That's exactly what it would look like if I tried the same move. Kidman brings it back in the ring to show young Lash how a crossbody should be done. Lash comes back with a double underhook sit-down powerbomb, and Kidman gets put on the mat again after LaRue throws his opponent high into the air. LaRue then tries to win us all over with a chinlock, but he has a long way to go in terms of overall technique. Billy has enough of this nonsense, so he performs a swift stinger splash before going up for a frog splash, but Lash moves out of the way, and LaRue then applies a grounded armbar. His Northern Lights power slam doesn't look bad at all, but he then gets too cocky and he ends up taking a top rope BK bomb. Lash impresses one more time with a Samoan driver, but again Kidman's quick to answer, this time with a tornado bulldog. Lash makes the stupid mistake of trying to powerbomb Billy Kidman, and that's all she wrote. A shooting star press pleases the crowd, and Billy Kidman retains the cruiserweight belt. The match had a few shaky moments, but all in all, it was good fun. We cut over to see Hollywood Hogan in a car, and sitting beside him is Chuck Zito, boxer, martial artist, president of the New York's Hells Angels, and he'd also go on to become an actor. Hogan's bad-mouthing David Flair while Chuck says this kid has no idea what's about to happen. Hogan tells his driver to slow down because he is filling up at a gas station. So evidently, David Flair's being followed by Hogan and his motorbike-loving homeboy. A Blue Meanie dance routine scheduled next for Raw. On Nitro, it's a Booker T promo. So, according to Michael Cole, this dance routine was ordered by a TV executive to see how well a male dance would do on TV. It's an odd excuse for the segment really, because Goldust shows up seconds into it and Blue Meanie gets his ass kicked. Something tells me there was something petty going on here and the WWF were throwing a small jab at the USA Network, because think about it, any other time they'd just have a guy get jumped during his entrance for a normal scheduled match. Meanie gets put in the ring, he gets hit with shattered dreams, and that's the dance routine over. A really strange piece of WWF television right here, and I definitely think there was a bit more to this. D'Lo's getting looked at by the doctor backstage, and the doctor reveals that Terry Runnels was never pregnant. D'Lo says, and I quote, "Don't you dare kayfabe me, doctor, shoot with me here." And the doc shoots from the hip when he says Terry was not pregnant when the accident on Raw happened. On Nitro, Booker T says he's been re-evaluating things since his match with Bret Hart last week. He came back from an injury he suffered at the hands of Bret not too long ago, and things haven't been going his way. But Mean Gene reminds Booker that he was still able to leave last week's Nitro match with his head held high. Booker says he needs to refocus, and it's going to begin at Super Brawl when he faces, wait for it, Disco Inferno. Yeah, Booker versus Disco Inferno at the pay-per-view. Booker says Disco's on a roll right now, but Booker T plans on raising the roof at Super Brawl. And yeah, Booker may be jumping down from Bret Hart to Disco Inferno here, but if there's anyone who can get a strong match out of Disco, then it's Booker T. I'm interested in seeing what happens. We've got Kurgan versus Draws on Raw, Scott Steiner versus Chris Jericho on Nitro. Draws, wearing his stupid little hat, tells the rest of the oddities to beat it so he can wrestle Kurgan one-on-one. The big man chokes Draws out at the corner before hitting him with a big boot and a sidewalk slam. Draws then takes more damage in the corner and check it out, the Kurgan splash. The commentators don't care about this hot wrestling action, by the way, they're too busy putting over the big pay-per-view numbers WWF did for the Royal Rumble. Draws gets sent to the outside, and when Kurgan goes to retrieve him, Darren uses a broom handle or a candlestick to jab his opponent. Draws then pulls off a diving shoulder tackle, and Darren Drozdov wins this match. Wonderful. Darren attacks Kurgan after the bell, the oddities run down for the save. I'm not sure many people cared, and Raw moved on to its next match. I'm also not sure why DDP didn't hang around the building earlier on to get his hands on Scott Steiner, but I totally expect him to run down and interrupt this match. Scott said before he'll show Kimberly what a real man is, and she's currently out back saying there's nothing finer than Scott Steiner. So DDP needs to step aside and let nature take its course. Man, I love Scott Steiner promos so much. He still trips up a little when speaking, but it strangely just adds to the promo. He comes across as very real due to these slight hiccups. Chris Jericho, who seems to have been put on ice these past few weeks, tells Ralphus to head back up the ramp. A strange decision, seeing as Buff Bagwell stays in Steiner's corner for this matchup, though to be fair, I'm not sure how useful Ralphus would be in a real fight. Who am I to doubt L. Ralphus though, right? Jericho flexes at Scott and he then crops himself when Steiner flexes back. Chris gets tossed out of the ring, and when he gets back in, Big Papa Pump lays in the elbows. Chris then takes a gorilla press slam that Mr. Bagwell definitely approved of, but Chris comes back with a kick combo before hitting his springboard dropkick. On the outside, Bagwell gets involved and Chris ends up getting sent over the guardrail. Jericho is not in good shape right now, but he stays tenacious with a diving back elbow back inside the ring. Steiner is not in a good mood tonight though, so Chris gets wheeled in the corner and Buff Bagwell gets involved again when the referee pulls Scott away. Jericho then takes a gut-wrench powerbomb before getting hung up in the Tree of Woe, and when Buff tries to offer Chris some ice cream, that ingrate Jericho kicks Bagwell away. That's gratitude for you. Scott goes down after a spinning wheel kick and Chris almost loses his footing when going for a lion salt. Jericho still hits the move, but Steiner kicks out at two. Scott makes Chris pay with a pump handle slam, a big papa pump handle slam, eh? Jericho replies with a kick to the face and Chris says he's had enough, he's gonna walk out. Chris walks up the rampway, but here comes Perry Saturn. Jericho gets decked by Perry before getting sent back into the ring, and Scott Steiner wins this one with a Steiner recliner. Scott continues to rack up wins, but it's a bit concerning that WCW fed the heel Jericho to the heel Big Papa Pump. The match was decent too, I'm surprised DDP didn't show up, and I don't care what anyone says, but WCW still has the best in-ring match quality between the two shows. Kevin Nash and Lex Luger address Rey Mysterio and Konnan next. On Raw, we've got The Brood vs Viscera and Midian in a 3-on-2 match. The Undertaker watches this one from the stage and he keeps a close eye on The Brood as they make their way down the ramp. Undertaker was supposed to be part of this match, but he's got faith in Midian and the newly named Viscera, apparently. The match begins with Gangrel and Midian throwing hands and Gangrel comes up a little short. Midian tags out after a back body drop and Viscera comes in with a big body slam followed by a big leg drop. Everything this guy does is big. Edge and Christian run in to help Gangrel out, and while Edge has little luck against Viscera, he fares much better in the ring with Midian. Gangrel and Edge pull off a double backdrop while Christian leaps off the top rope with an impressive elbow drop. And just when the Brood were getting the upper hand, the Acolytes run in and the match gets thrown out. The Undertaker starts making his way down to the ring and officials run down to break up the fight. The Brood end up taking out the referees though, and it appears that these boys want to keep fighting even though they are outnumbered. The Ministry destroy the opposition before tying a noose around Gangrel's neck. The Undertaker places a hand on Gangrel's forehead, and the Prince of Darkness then pushes Gangrel off the apron. I remember first seeing this and being a little pissed off that the Brood were essentially being buried by Mabel the Hog Farmer and Justin Hawk Bradshaw. Farouk's cool, so he gets a pass. But hold your horses there, cowboy, because we're going to come back to this a little later on. On Nitro, Lex Luger says he finds it quite humorous that Mysterio and Konnan would call out the big boys of the NWO. Nash can't believe these guys want a match against Lex and himself, and he's also a little surprised that Ray wants to put his mask on the line against the beautiful golden locks of Big Sexy in the total package. Nash accepts the match. After pondering it for a while, Big Sexy decides it should be Miss Elizabeth who puts her hair on the line, and even though Liz is supposed to act defiant to all this, she can't help but smile and laugh. She's very charming, is Miss Elizabeth. So there we go, another Super Brawl match. Nash confirms it.
Ray, your mask against the lovely Miss Elizabeth's hair.
Thank you very much.
Mankind says he's got something for Deborah's boobs. Deborah wonders what's wrong with her big mama jammas, and Mick says nothing. They actually give him a tingly feeling all over when he sees them. But Mick's afraid that Deborah could get a chest cold, something that could be fatal for someone with Deborah's measurements. So Mick gives Deborah a sweater and he tells her to have a nice day. What a guy. The WWF champ's going to come out to the ring next to cut a promo. On Nitro, Ernest Miller issues an open challenge. Mick says he doesn't feel too good after halftime heat. He probably doesn't look too good either, but the last time Mick checked himself in the mirror, he looked like he was the new WWF champion. The Rock's music then plays in the arena and the Great One comes out to address the man who beat him for that championship. Rock, who must have a bad throat because his voice is completely messed up, says Mankind wouldn't have beaten him if he didn't use a forklift in the empty arena match. Mick may be the champion, but after these last 2 weeks, Foley can't deny that Rock isn't the most electrifying man in sports entertainment today. The Rock took it to Mick at the Rumble and he took it to him at halftime heat, but now it's time for Mick to give Rock his money back. He has to give Rock his $97,000 back before The Rock whips his monkey ass. Mick says it's down to about 72 grand now, but that doesn't matter. Foley's changed his mind and he's not giving Rock his money back as promised last week. What he will do though is offer Rock another shot at the WWF Championship. Rock's got a great idea, a match that's named Last Man Standing. No pinfalls, no submissions. Rock promises it'll be more violent than the I Quit match, and Mick agrees to this stipulation. It's going to take place at St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Rock says Mick's going to find out why he's the Great One and why he's the greatest WWF champion there ever was, and that's the promo over.
What the Rock is cooking.
On Nitro, Ernest Miller says he wants to fight, nothing new. He challenges anyone in the building to step inside the ropes for a match. We cut over to the NWO dressing room, and Nash says that Ernest Miller just called Scott Norton out. Obviously, Miller did no such thing, but the NWO seem happy playing these games with each other and screwing each other around. Norton takes the bait, he comes out for the match, and the crowd welcome the hometown boy as he steps inside the ropes. Miller says he wasn't calling Norton out specifically, but he'll still whoop his ass. And yeah, good job Ernie, well done. Norton proceeds to chop the shit out of Ernest Miller, and the Cat's now re-evaluating his decision to host this open challenge. A low dropkick gives the Cat an opening, but as soon as he takes his eyes off the target, he ends up getting put on the mat with a lot of force. Norton starts no-selling, even a rake to the face can't stop him. The no-selling continues, as do the hard knife-edge chops, and look at Miller's chest, it's completely wrecked. At this point, there's no point in the Cat even wrestling the match because everything he tries to do has no effect on Big Scott Norton. Eventually, Miller sacrifices Sonny Ono and this lets Miller hit a superkick, but his subsequent kicks merely tickle Big Norton. A clothesline puts Ernest down and the match ends with a thunderous powerbomb from Scott. It feels like this match only happened so the Minnesota fans could see their hometown boy in action. It was an entertaining beatdown, but I'd always choose competitive matches over stuff like this. The Road Dogg and Al Snow take on the Acolytes next on Raw. On Nitro, Bill Goldberg cuts an in-ring promo. Very weird seeing Bill get interviewed by Mean Gene Okerlund, and really, it shouldn't be odd at all seeing as he's been in the company for so long. Mean Gene says Goldberg's still undefeated in Okerlund's eyes, and Goldberg says the past is in the past, forget about it. In regards to Bam Bam Bigelow, Goldberg tells Bam Bam to look in his eyes. What does Bam Bam see? The cult of personality. No, Bam Bam should take a look and realize that there's no fear in the eyes of Billy Boy Goldberg. Bam Bam talks the talk, he calls himself an extremist and the beast from the east, but to Goldberg, Bam Bam's only one thing.
You're next!
You can tell that WCW had no fucking idea what to do with this Bam Bam and Goldberg rivalry. It's so messy and so on and off that it's becoming ridiculous. Remember, this has been going on since before the World War III pay-per-view. Switching over to Raw.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
Shut up.
So Road Dogg's teaming up with Al Snow once again, and this time they're taking on the Acolytes. This is a hardcore match, and you know the drill, these are much better to watch instead of hearing someone describe what's happening, but let me show you some of the better spots. Here's the Road Dogg sticking a pencil in Farouk's eye, Bradshaw almost taking Al Snow's head off with the ring steps, man if that would have connected. Al Snow grabs a chair and he hits Bradshaw and Farouk so hard on the head that I legit feared for Al's upcoming receipt, but thankfully it never came. Well, it didn't come to Al anyway, Road Dogg took a chair shot instead. Farouk splits off to fight with Al Snow while Bradshaw focuses on Road Dogg. Snow and Farouk end up in the backstage area where the two end up using a trash can on each other while in the arena, Bradshaw decks a fan who threw a drink over him. In the backstage area, Al Snow has a problem, a big problem named Viscera. Big Daddy V grabs Snow out of the air and he proceeds to put him through some scrap wood that was placed conveniently beside the building as Farouk makes his way back to the ring. So Road Dogg ends up all alone against two pissed off Acolytes. James tries to put up a fight but it's no good, he gets powerbombed through the table and the Acolytes win this tag team match. A few druids then come down to the ring and they start laying the boots in before the Undertaker's music begins to play. The dead man stands at the entranceway as the ministry remove the druids' hoods, and oh my god, the brood have joined the Ministry of Darkness. Michael Cole says the beating the brood took earlier on was maybe a way for them to prove themselves to the Undertaker, and Cole also implies that the brood were the druids a few weeks ago when the Undertaker returned to Raw for the Dennis Knight sacrifice. Whatever the case, the ministry have grown a lot stronger, and I personally think the brood fit very well into the Undertaker's faction. A good move here from the WWF. After a commercial break, Road Dogg blames Al Snow for the loss, so James attacks his tag team partner with a chair. Road Dogg vs Al Snow scheduled to take place at St. Valentine's Day Massacre. Main event time, on Raw, it's Kane vs Triple H inside a steel cage. On Nitro, Scott Hall takes on Chris Benoit. The winner of this Nitro match faces Bret Hart at Super Brawl 9. This is Chris Benoit's second match of the night, and the Hitman joins the commentary team for this Nitro main event. Scott mocks Benoit by raising his arms up for a test of strength, so Chris blows his nose at the bad guy. Lovely. Bret Hart says hi to Smokey the Kid as Chris performs a dragon screw, and Hall then takes a baseball slide when he goes out of the ring. Disco helps by tripping Benoit up, but Hall can't follow up with his elbow drop. Hall then takes a dropkick and he knocks Disco off the apron, and Benoit's then able to lock in the crossface. Disco pulls Benoit out of the ring and the two have a brief scuffle on the outside. I was just wondering why none of the horsemen came out here tonight to assist Benoit, but that question gets answered immediately when Big Steve McMichael shows up. Steve destroys Disco and the two end up fighting all the way back up the ramp, so that should even the odds a little back inside the ring. McMichael brings Disco all the way to the backstage area, and just before we go to commercial break, Disco gets thrown in the horseman's dressing room. He's greeted with Arn Anderson and his tire iron. Arn with an iron? I can't say that. So it looks like Disco's gonna have a wonderful time. Back in the ring, Scott finds himself in a sleeper, but he breaks free and we see the fallaway slam. He then applies an abdominal stretch, and as usual, Hull uses the top rope for leverage. Chris breaks free with a hip toss, and after a backbreaker, Benoit signals for the headbutt. Kevin Nash appears just as Benoit pulls off his signature move. Nash gets knocked off the apron and Benoit decides to go up top once again, but Scott stops Chris in his tracks and the bad guy ends up winning it with the outsider's edge. Scott Hall is now scheduled to face Bret Hart at Super Brawl. Not much to say about this main event really. It's good to see other guys get an opportunity to close the show, but we've seen better from both men. Before Nitro goes off the air, we see Wood from the Hood and his biker Michael Liker mate once again. They watch David Flair heading into a gym, and they decide to head in to confront young David. Flair, Malenko and Anderson are watching back in the arena, and Ric Flair seems very concerned. Vince McMahon finally finds Steve Austin and he starts provoking the Rattlesnake. Vince says the fact that he eliminated Austin from the Rumble must be eating him up inside, and McMahon challenges Austin to hit him. Vince wants Stone Cold to smack him right in the face. Vince didn't travel to this godforsaken place for nothing, he wants to fight, but Austin knows exactly what McMahon's trying to do. Stone Cold says he's not going to attack Vince, he's going to wait until it's legal inside the steel cage. McMahon calls Austin a chicken shit, but Austin says he will not hit the chairman. Something else Austin won't do, however, is tell these fine people of Victoria, Texas what to do. These boys can do whatever they want to Vince, so Stone Cold tells his friends to have some fun before heading home. It ends with Vince, Briscoe and Patterson backing up from the group, and Jerry Lawler says this is like something from Deliverance. In the ring, Triple H tells that, and I quote, "Big bitch China to keep an eye on this match. Hunter's gonna derail the big red machine." Kane makes his entrance and Triple H goes on offense right away. Kane comes back with a clothesline and a suplex. The referee then reminds Kane that he still has to set off his pyro. So instead of just forgetting about it, Kane does his little pose and he sets off his fireworks. Hunter gets rammed into the side of the cage and his short-lived comeback gets stopped with a headbutt. He then decides he wants to leave the cage, but Kane stops him in his tracks. Triple H has no choice but to fight back, so he rams his opponent's head into the steel a few times before once again trying to leave via the cage door. Kane stops Hunter, we see a diving clothesline from the big red machine. Hunter grabs a chair when he once again tries to get out the door, and the corporation's monster takes a shot right to the head. This isn't enough to keep Kane down, so Hunter hits the facebreaker knee smash. Again, Kane just gets right back up. Hunter takes a clothesline before Kane tries to escape over the cage. This unsuccessful attempt ends with Kane smacking his head off the canvas when Hunter throws him down, and we then get both guys fighting in the corner while also trying to get themselves up and over. Eventually, Hunter drops Kane and Kane gets his wee red machine smashed on the top rope. Triple H pulls off the Harley Race knee while Kane's trapped between the ropes and the cage. Hunter then goes for the pedigree, but he gets backdropped into the cage before taking a chokeslam. Kane's got this one all wrapped up. He goes the exit via the cage door, but X-Pac shows up and the door gets slammed in Kane's face. Waltman also stops Kane from climbing over the cage, so China runs down to even the odds. China tries to grab Hunter as the degenerate climbs out, but Triple H manages to kick his former valet away and Hunter wins the Raw main event. Kane's an absolute bloody mess as he goes after Hunter up the ramp, but China tells Kane to let her former teammates have their little moment. Raw ends with China wishing Hunter a happy Valentine's Day. She says, in 2 weeks' time, it's in Valentine's Day Massacre. Hunter's receipt will be short and painful. Raw wins reliving the war this week. The Shane McMahon opening segment was fun. I like the Brood joining the ministry. The main event was good. And Vince McMahon searching for Austin was very entertaining. Nitro had better in-ring action, and I thought the DDP part was fun to watch. But it's one of those episodes of Nitro you could skip over and not feel like you've missed all that much. Even the debut of Sandman should have been better, and I couldn't have cared less for the Eric Bischoff dunk tank thing. We've got 84 points for Raw, 68 points for Nitro, and we've got 19 ties on the board. Raw got an extremely good 5.9 rating this week, while Nitro dropped to a 4.7. Next week, Raw gets moved to Saturday night, but we'll just compare it to Nitro as usual. There's no point in complicating things. Raw comes from the Toronto Sky Dome, and it would really take a venue like this to contain a Steve Blackman vs. Rock match in the semi-main event. I can't wait. On Nitro, Tori Wilson makes her WCW TV debut, DDP's problems with Scotty Steiner continue to escalate, and Ric Flair puts Bret Hart in a US title match against a legend of professional wrestling. I hope to see you all again next week. Thank you very much for watching, and please take care.